Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's event, Organization Transformation. And I would now like to introduce our hosts from OrgView, Ross Hill, Vice President of Client Engagement, and Akhil Chuhan, Solutions Consultant.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the intro. I'm excited to speak with you all today about getting your organization fit to thrive. Now, as I move us forward, what do we mean by organization transformation? Today's businesses are forced to reevaluate whether they have the business model, the structure, the cost profile, and the talent to support their strategy. The hybrid workforce environment, modern digital experiences, on-demand access to software and solutions, all pose challenges. These challenges and opportunities introduce risk and opportunity to thrive. Now, a cornerstone belief of OD and transformation is that strategy is manifested through the organization. The org is a mechanism to make the strategy real. As change comes, regardless of the driver, organizations have a duty to transform quickly and with confidence. This duty is not just to shareholders, but to people in the organization as well. Now, today we're going to talk a lot about data-driven transformation, leveraging technology to do this well, to do it faster, more effectively, and more efficiently. Well, we throw around the word data-driven a lot, and I want to clarify that this does not refer to a cold, algorithmic decision-making process. Transformation is fundamentally human. It is a human process. Data-driven transformation is the process of leveraging data to drive better conversation, better decision-making, letting data and technology remove noise so you can better serve the business and your people. Now, looking on this slide and looking at the content we have here, we talked about how that org helps you manifest your strategy. There are a lot of drivers that actually dictate the need for change. These can be internal, these can be external. Now, if we look at the right side of the slide, you'll notice there are internal and external drivers. You'll notice two things specifically. One is this is by no means a comprehensive list. There are endless numbers of drivers for transformation and change. But number two, notice these things happen all the time. Sometimes, and I think this is somewhat rare, we get clarity on major events, massive drivers that change the world quickly. And we have line of sight into when they're coming and how they're coming, and we react to them. But more often, transformation and change and these drivers are the result of slow, constant change. An example, increase in direct-to-consumer sales. The impact of the internet, it was a massive boom at the beginning, but then how people leverage that has slowly evolved and changed over time. We also have unpredictable factors. COVID is a perfect example. Now, reacting to this takes capability. It takes technology, it takes process, it takes method. What we're going to talk about today is how we respond to these drivers. As an example, we'll use Netflix as an example. Netflix was a disruptor. In 97, they said, we don't need you to drive to the store. We'll just send you DVDs. Right? They're still sending physical content. Now, they're competing with Blockbuster. But what really differentiated them was the fact that they moved into a new space, something disruptive, streaming. They made binge watching real. I think we've all binge watched on Netflix and other platforms. But what was important was not the fact that they were disruptive. It's the way they've responded. The other businesses, Disney, Disney Plus, ESPN, et cetera, have all launched their own streaming services, Paramount. But what Netflix has done is they've pivoted. They said, we can't just be a home for content. We need to be content creators. So they quickly and confidently pivoted. And they did this years ago. Now, they have moved from being a disruptor to also an adapter. They've adapted in the market. They realized that just housing content, people were going to take that. It wasn't sustainable. So what they did was pivoted to create and own content. These examples exist across industries, across organizations. And what we found is that organizations who respond well to these drivers are ones who have technology, process, and method in place to do it well. We must be adept at adapting. Transformation is a muscle and it must be worked. So to address these drivers, typically organizations go through transformation work. What we've seen is 80% of transformation projects fail. That is according to the Harvard Business Review. So if we agree on the belief that effective organization is a mechanism to realizing your strategy, it's really concerning that 80% of transformation efforts fail. I do want to start by saying transformation is hard. This isn't easy. And there's a difference between something being complicated. So chess is complicated. There are lots of rules. There are a finite number of possible moves. It is programmable. A machine can play chess. Then there's complex. Poker is complex. There's an unending number of variables, unpredictable actors that play into that game. Transformation is complex. Transformations fail largely because people do not take the time to manage the conceptually small things that reduce that complexity. Studies show that driving alignment and data confidence, as we see on the slide under the pivotal factors section, will actually increase the effectiveness of transformation work. These concepts are relatively straightforward. Alignment and accountability, these seem like table stakes. Confidence in the data, transition management, monitoring, making sure we actually realize what we said we were going to do, these seem like table stakes. What happens is we don't have the ability to measure these things. We don't have technology in order to make sure this is done well. So why don't we have this? Why don't we do this well? The tools we have make this hard. They're disparate, they're disconnected. They tend to be used for broad purposes, email, Excel, PowerPoint, and aligning on those technologies is difficult. I'm going to talk about six key factors that limit this capability and drive misalignment and lack of confidence. First one is decentralized data. Transformation leverages HR data, but it also leverages finance data, capability data, etc. Those sit in different disparate systems. Number two is the gap between HR and finance and other functions and the business. Oftentimes, we're not singing from the same hymn sheet. We're using different factors for cost, etc. This results in a lack of confidence and trust. When trust is eroded, we are ineffective at driving transformation. Next, it is a slow process. Because things sit in a bunch of different places, because we're working in spreadsheets and constantly trying to reconcile, we're slow to drive this change. The world keeps moving as we drive transformation work. As events go, the world continues to move. But if we move slowly, we can't react to it well. Next is the lack of monitoring. Oftentimes, we get to the end of a transformation project, we hand over a design to talent acquisition fills those seats, we recruit, we then activate that design, we activate that talent, and we claim success. We wipe our hands and walk away. The creep starts immediately. We had a set of KPIs we needed to hit. Are we continuing to hit those KPIs? Technology, the ability to monitor over time, is incredibly valuable here. Next is a lack of visibility. You can't change what you can't see. Oftentimes working in spreadsheets and PowerPoint, things aren't up to date. It's hard to see the organization. And lastly is the lack of agility. We talked about being adept at adapting, constantly pivoting and changing. These aren't big changes, they're small changes, but they matter. Instead of swerving all over the road, we're constantly moving that wheel to stay aligned. So what now? What do we do about this? I'd like to introduce OrgView. OrgView is a technology. It helps with this process. Now, it's not a magic bullet. No technology is. Technology is dependent on process, on method, on discipline. But technology can be a massive enabler. Process, method, and discipline fall down without tech, and vice versa. What OrgView and effective technology do are allow you to centralize data, a single source of truth, everybody singing from the same hymn sheet, the same view of costs, the same view of FTE and headcount. Delivering work faster, centralized control, distributed execution, having the ability for people to leverage technology to do work quickly and get feedback quickly. If we're going to fail, if we have poor design decisions, we need to know it fast so we can pivot. Increased accountability and transparency. High visibility on the workforce. See the organization like you've not been able to see it before. Have more informed decision-making processes. We need to spend less time reconciling data, manipulating Excel files, and more time doing the strategic work that we need to do to make this effective. And lastly, leveraging technology allows us to have an internal capability, in-house capability. Design and data-driven initiatives are centralized and controlled, increasing agility and the ability to adapt to the future. So what we're going to talk about today are three key steps. Now, there's a lot more that goes into transformation. Up front, we have to do analysis. We have to understand the size of the prize. There's due diligence, et cetera. But what Akhil is going to run through today in our demo is going to be three steps. First, model the future organization. What does our structure look like? What does an effective structure look like? Effective organizations allow talent to shine. Second is allocating talent to that structure. Who fills the seats? Make sure we have the right talent in the right places to deliver. Third is tracking and monitoring, the piece that is most commonly ignored. Transformation efforts, people come together, they have a deadline, they hit that deadline and that target, and then we walk away. It is incredibly essential for that transformation to be effective, that we track it, that we monitor it, that we're constantly tweaking. With that, I would love to kick it over to my colleague Akhil, who's going to take us through a demo.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to sort of bring all of this to life in OrgView, how we can model the organization, transition talent, and then track and monitor that over time. So let's just have a quick demo across all of these different capabilities to really bring this to life in OrgView. So let's say we've done some of that upwork thinking in this organization. Yeah, we've got our current FTE and target FTE. We know what our current cost base is and what we're hoping to get towards. And we split that out in any number of ways that's relevant for my organization. In this case, we've got my different departments or cost centers, broken that into different locations, and that could go down further. Now, what we've taken is taken these targets and then translate them into my organization to see how different leaders, different parts of the organization are performing against those different targets that we've set out. In this case, we're going to focus on FTE primarily. And for the overall numbers, it looks like we're relatively on track on the outset of this transformation. Now, there may be some areas of the business. If I zoom in here, we can see my general counsel a little bit over, my marketing group also a fair bit over what we're hoping to get towards. We could drill into this data a bit more in detail to see what might be causing some of that discrepancy. It looks like in this marketing group, we've got quite a global organization, you know, LATAM, EMEA, APAC, North America, and we can see how different parts of different leaders of the organization are meeting their targets today, and then how we might want to think about transforming their organization to keep in line with these targets. It looks like we've got some areas in North America and EMEA, I think it was, that are a little bit over. And we might be looking at expanding into a different market, a lower cost area, perhaps, within my marketing organization in Latin America. Now, I could go ahead and start making changes in my organization now, but I might want to be a bit more data-driven on how I want to make those changes. So there's all sorts of different metrics that we might want to understand at the outset of this exercise. I'm just going to flash up a few different examples that some customers might want to use when getting an understanding of where their organization is today to be a bit more data-driven. Here's what a few different examples, looking at some organizational health metrics, looking at the overall layering in the organization in the top left here, but not only understanding where we are today, also setting targets for some of these metrics as well. So we've got a 7,000 person workforce spread across about, say, 10 layers here. If I want to see how that marketing group is performing against one of these key metrics, I can very easily see that they are, in fact, contributing to some of the lower layers in the organizational hierarchy. This may be one area that we want to review. Now, hand in hand with the overall layering often comes understanding spans of control or the distribution of team sizes, which is what we've got in the top left here, top right. Now, we can see we've got a bit of a Goldilocks zone that we're aiming for between 5 and 12 for the whole organization. Within your own organization, it might be a bit more nuanced. There may be different areas of the organization with different targets, but we're just seeing how we're performing against those targets. We've got some larger teams over here on the right-hand side, which may present some management challenges. Then we may have some additional capacity in some smaller teams and one-to-one reporting line relationships. Now, for the purpose of this webinar, we're going to keep things simple and just focus on a couple of these metrics. But again, those internal and external drivers, there's so much information that we can use to help inform how we want to go about doing some of our organizational restructuring. Now, one final thing that is a great thing about Orgvie is that since we are source system agnostic, we can bring in data not only from an employee population, but also third parties, contractors, a contingent workforce, to really give that holistic view of our workforce before we go ahead and do some of our planning and organizational change. So let's pick on that marketing group. We're just going to focus on the senior leadership team here. And as you can see, I've got my leaders here, and I might just pull in some more data, again, that might be relevant to some of the planning that we're going to be doing. So let me bring in my spans control of managers, and we'll also bring in, say, the total number of layers that each leader is responsible for. And since we've got some employee information, let's also bring in some employee type data. So looking at that, maybe thinking back to where we have some of those targets that we've been set out at the start of this transformation, we might want to pick on a specific area, let's say EMEA. Currently, there's a team size of 2, and they are responsible for layer 10, some of the lower layers in the organizational hierarchy. So I'm going to play out a bit of a what-if scenario on this team to model out a future state, and then we'll think about how we can transition the workforce from where we are today into this future state. So let's say I want to reduce reliance on third parties and contractors within my European operations. One thing that I might do is close out this VP of channels position that's currently a contractor, and then restructure the rest of that team here. Let's flag this as something we're going to close out. And then I might flag that customer marketing analyst as one that we're going to reallocate and sort of redeploy under the brand innovation manager alongside some of the other analysts there. And then finally, what I'm going to do is update all of the reporting lines of the rest of that team and have them report directly up into the SVP there. So grab all of these in one hit and just pop them up onto the SVP. So we're just modeling out changes, aligning to some of the targets that have been set, both from an organizational metric perspective, but then also seeing what the implications are in real time on things like headcount, cost, and team structure. Now, you could imagine individuals and teams working through this marketing organization to help us realign and transform in order to meet the organizational structure, in order to meet the strategy that we've set out. Now, the outputs of that might be something like this, seeing what the financial impact of those decisions that we're making are. So we're closing some positions due to outsourcing, maybe we're offshoring into other locations, maybe we're introducing new capabilities elsewhere, which may have some additional cost associated with it. Now, we could always tie this back to the specific organization and the teams which are being impacted by the different decisions that we're making. So from this bird's eye view, I can see immediately those changes that we were just making in EMEA in the top right here. But we could also see all of the other changes that are being proposed by others within this one scenario. But right now, we're just focused on the marketing organization. There may be other parts of the organization that are being worked on at the same time as part of an enterprise-wide change initiative. With Orgvie, we can facilitate a very easy way of consolidating all of these different work streams or projects or initiatives into a single view. So the way that we can do that is just by pulling in those different scenarios. So I can consolidate my current situation with marketing, with my best case from HR, with my worst case from sales, to really give it a holistic view of what the future state of the whole organization is going to look like. And I can see all of the granular changes that are being proposed across all of these different areas. now I've got my future state organization, I might want to think about how I'm going to transition the workforce from where we are today into that future state. So that second point that Ross had just outlined. Now, there's a few different ways that we could go about doing that. One might be by attaching timestamps to each of the changes that we're proposing, so we can really build out a picture for how we're going to make those changes from where we are today into that future state. Now, the second might be understanding the employee impact and understanding how we're going to transition the people into this future structure. So that's what we're going to jump ahead to now. Let's say we've evaluated our future structure. We know what we're going to hopefully get towards. Now, we might want to understand the people who are going to fit into that future state. And let's say we're in the midst of a selection process to help transition the workforce from where we are today into that future state. And as you can see here, I've got a view of my senior leadership team again. This time, we're in the middle of that transformation, of that selection. So we can see we've got positions at different stages of a selection process, from unassigned through to slated, selected, and confirmed. Now, we can see all of the individual people that are sitting under these different stages of selection. So I'll just go ahead and reveal those here. And if I zoom in again, we can see somebody like Ava has been selected for this chief finance officer. But you'll also notice that she was initially part of the talent slate or candidate pool for this SVP of finance based out of London. Let's bring this whole workflow to life a little bit by trying to find somebody in one of those leadership positions within my marketing organization. Now, the way that we can do that is really simple. We just search for people that we think would be a good fit. So I'll search for people who are, say, currently in the Department of Marketing. And seeing as this is a senior role, maybe we'll want to find people above a certain grade. And with that being a North America or a South American role, let's find somebody who's in region, or at least in time zone. Now I can see we've got all of these different candidates, and I might just pick some people from this group, and I can select all of the individuals that I think would be a good fit. Now, on a per selection basis, I can indicate the stage that these individuals are going through. Let's say we're creating a talent slate. We can indicate a rationale for every single one of these different people. So really useful for maintaining an audit trail of the decisions that we're making. I can just go ahead and punch those in. Then what AllView is doing is creating a connection between the people in the organization and this future state, which will help us to understand how we're going to move our workforce and our employees into this future structure. And I'm just confirming those changes here. And we could see we've created a talent slate or candidate pool for that SVP of marketing out of Latin America. Now, you might notice that I've just used some really simple data to help me make some of these decisions. Coming back to what Ross talked about earlier, you know, there's so much more data around our people that we can use to help make better decisions. So what I'm going to do is flip this view and really tap into some of that data around our people. So this time, I'm looking at a list of all of the eligible people in my organization, and I'm just using any more relevant information. Things like performance, potential, tenure, years to retirement. Maybe we could include some experience and skills information at this point as well. But we could really focus in on anybody of those people who are as of yet unassigned, let's say. And maybe we want to think about retaining top talent in the organization. Where are all of my star employees who aren't yet placed into that future structure? Now, how can I prioritize retaining people that are going to be most impactful for us to meet that strategy that we've outlined? Now, talent is one aspect of it. Something that we're seeing more and more with our customers in the market is wanting to understand where certain critical skills and skill sets appear in my organization today. And with AllView, we can look at the organization through the lens of skills and competencies as well. In this case, we've got a breakdown of a high-level skill set or capability for data and analytics, and we can see exactly where that appears in the organization today. There's some pockets where we're expecting it in technology and, let's say, finance. But there may be other areas that we haven't tapped yet into yet, and we can think about how we can use the people who already are in the organization, retain all of their knowledge of the work, the organization, and their skills without having to go to the market externally. This is just one way that we could start to use AllView to understand how we can place talent into this future structure as part of an organizational transformation. Now, you see there's a whole bunch of other different types of analysis that may feed into some of these decisions and help us track performance of ensuring the targets and accountabilities are being met across all stages of the transformation, whether that is from the modeling out the selection here, or when it comes to tracking that over time, which is where Orgvie's tracking and monitoring capability comes in. So we can start to monitor what's our actual cost and headcount compared to what we had initially planned at the outset of this initiative. So we could see that actually in those three most recent months, it looks like we may be starting to deviate from our plan a little bit. Now let's double click on that a little, and let's see actually, since we developed these plans in OrgView and we know what was expected with regards to when certain changes are taking place, what happened last month? And that's where these sort of summary dashboards can be really useful in helping leaders to understand not only whether we were on plan or off plan, but what might be driving some of those discrepancies. Where have we had positions added, closed, or changed in some way? And how? Where are they appearing in the organization? Now, if I'm picking on that marketing group again, I can see that of all of the changes that have taken place in this most recent month, there's some that were on plan. This might be part of our planned recruitment or plan changes to relocating positions into different areas. Maybe it's that Latin America group. You'll also notice that there's some unplanned changes or off-plan changes. Now we could really drill into the detail here and see where those appear today and see what might be driving some of that. This is really where coming back to one of Ross's first points around maintaining accountability of the changes that we're proposing comes in. So I can focus in on everything that was unplanned, and let's say we may have some unplanned leavers in the organization, and I can see where they take place today. And then think about if there's any, say, backfill or recruitment that needs to fill in some of this natural attrition that may be taking place as well. That's a general introduction into those different areas of the OrgView platform and how it can support an organizational transformation. We had a look at how we can analyze the organization, model out a few different changes to help us align the organization to some of those targets, and then transition our workforce from where we are today into that future structure, and all the while being able to track and monitor performance against that plan.
Thank you, Ross and Akhil. And thank you, everyone, for attending the fourth in a series of show and tell solution events. On behalf of OrgView and the presenters, thank you for joining us, and have a great day.